You know, I want to bring you a message today called It's Just Two. And I got you. Blank looks all over the places out there. They're saying, it's two what? It's just two. I mean, it could be, it's too hot to go to church this morning, so I think I'll stay home. It's too late. I can't make it in time, so I'll stay home. It could be anything. You see, we're talking about that little word, T-double-O. And all of us probably know that two is an adverb, and it means excessively or also added on to. So when you're sitting there this morning and I tell you it's two, you should lean forward and get your ears tuned in, because it means that whatever I'm fixing to follow it with is excessive or added to. This morning, I want to bring you the message on the rich man. Now, everybody knows, if you've read your Bibles, that rich men or people of wealth are named or mentioned several times. But the one that I want to bring you today is the rich man, and you're going to find this in Mark 10th chapter 17 through 22. You'll also find him in Luke 12, 16 through 21, and chapter 16, 19 through 31. That's the three times that this man is mentioned. Now, I know that when you read this, this is a dumb question. But are they the same man? Nobody knows. They could be. And for sake of argument and putting it together today, we're going to say that this is the same man. But you're just going to look at him from three different views and three different stages in their lives. The first one you're going to see is the young ruler. And so he is obviously young. The second one is an older person. Doesn't say how old, but he's older. We know that. And the third is beyond old. He's dead. So that's the three people that we want to look at today. Three rich men that had to make a decision. And all three made a different decision. And we're going to look at those. One said, it's too much to give. The second says, the decision's too hard to make. And the last, well, he's just plain too late. If you would, I need you to bow your heads in prayer. Our most gracious, loving, heavenly Father, how we thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us. And Father, for the opportunity that we have to come into your house. And Father, we just pray now that you have adjusted our minds and our hearts, that we are here for that reason, Father, to come in and to adore you, to praise you, and all things that occur here today are about you. And Father, if we have any other thoughts in our minds, then we ask that you adjust our minds and get it straight with us right now. Father, we love you so much, and we lift you up. May you be praised and glorified and honored by all that occurs here today. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, let me get my Bible open. And I need you to turn to Mark in the 10th chapter. And we're going to read 17 through 22 real quickly. So, and we all know that the first rich man that we're going to look at is a rich young ruler. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Well, what do you think when you look at this rich young man? Do you have any thoughts about who he is and what he thought and where he might be in his religious life and everything? Well, what do you know about him? Well, one thing that we know for sure is he's respectful, because verse 17 says that he ran up to him, fell on his knees before him, and asked him. Isn't that rather a strange thing for a young ruler to do? I mean, this ruler, because the key word is ruler, he's over people. And he is used to people coming, running up to him, falling before him, and asking him. It's totally opposite for him to be going to this man. So he obviously knows that this man's position is much higher than his. And so he ran up to him and he fell on his knees in adoration and respect. And he fell on his knees and he asked his advice. So we know that he is respectful. We know that he is religious, because verse 20 says, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. So he was raised in a Christian upbringing, and he knew all of these things, and he's so proud of himself, because this is what Jesus has asked him to do, give up all these things, and he says, I've done all of these. How many have you done? Can we sit here before God and be so proud of what we've done? Well, I'm pretty good at that one. I've done that one. I don't do that thing. But you see what I'm saying? Some we do, some we don't. But he's talking to us too. He says, all of these things I've kept since a boy. Well, some of these things I have too. We know that he is rich. Verse 22 tells us so. It says he had great wealth. He could buy anything that he wanted. He didn't have to go to Jesus or anyone else. He could have stayed at home in his air-conditioned house and not showed up in church this morning. But you did. But he was rich. The focus, though, really is he was restless. And when I tell you he's restless, in verse 17 he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Don't you see that he was restless because there was something in his life that bothered him? He was falling short on one thing. What? And it's just, he can't even sleep at night. He's saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He knew there was this thing called eternal life. And he had to have part of it. He wanted it. And he says, so what must I do? I know you're the one I had to come to and ask. What must I do? Something was missing spiritually in his life. What is it? What was missing in his life? What's missing in your life? What was Jesus' response to him? Look at that carefully, people. What was Jesus' response? He said he looked at him and he loved him. He loved him in spite of whatever this shortcoming is. Jesus loved him. Looked at him with eyes that said, I don't want to hurt you or confuse you with this answer. I love you. He tells us the same thing. I don't care that you're sinners. I love you so much, I'm going to go walk up that hill for you. He loved him with a genuine love, and he didn't want to embarrass him. But he tells him, sell all you have, distribute it to the poor, and come follow me. Where in the world have you ever heard that before? Come follow me. Didn't he say the same thing to his disciples? Every one of them. When he walked up to them, got all these fishing boats and fishing nets and all of these things. Money, money, money. You got all of this? He says, get rid of everything you have and come follow me. And what did the disciples do? They followed him. Same thing, amazingly, that he tells this young man. You gotta get rid of what's bothering you and come follow me. You know, that's an amazing story. Because there's so many people today that glean onto that and hold onto it and said, see there, the rich cannot go to heaven. He didn't say the rich can't go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible are you going to find he says that the rich can't go to heaven. Only that it's not the rich. He said it's what is keeping you, what is standing between you and me. And that is your money. And that is what is the problem. You need to get rid of whatever stands before you and God. And he still tells us the same thing today. If there's something between you and me, get rid of it. That's the first step. You have to get rid of that. Did you know that in Matthew, the 19th chapter, 23-24, says, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. But he didn't say it was impossible, did he? He said it's just easier. So he's telling you, sometimes it's hard what you've got to give up. But you've got to get rid of it in order to enter the gates of heaven. So, now it comes down to it. What was the rich man's response? The price is just too high. There's that key little word again. The price is just too high. You're asking me something that I just can't give up. And don't you know that he's a young ruler and he's thinking, like a lot of us, oh, that's okay. I got lots of money and lots of time. So I don't have to make this decision today. So I'll just wait. And the scriptures goes on to tell us that he left. Move on. Go to Luke in the 12th chapter. Luke 12, 16 through 21. It says, Remember, he says, and he told them this parable. Now, right here, he tells it as a parable, but it doesn't mention or say that he referred that to a living man. So could this still be the living man that was the young ruler before? Yes, it could. But in this case, we're going to make sure that you think that it does, because he goes on and he says, and he told him this parable, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourselves? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. You see, like so many of us today, this man had too much. And so he's looking around him and he says, oh my gosh, I've got a problem. All of my crops, or all of my silos, all of my barns, everything is full to the top from last year's crop. And this year's is coming on and it's another bumper crop. And I just don't know what I can do. I don't have any place to put it. It's all going to go to waste. What did God tell him again? Same thing. You have got to get rid of everything and come and follow me. The rules hadn't changed any. But the man is sitting there thinking, I've got it. I didn't need any help with this, and Lord, you can go back to whatever you was doing. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to build me a whole bunch more barns and some big silos. And then when all of my crops come in, I'm going to fill them to the top too. And now I'm going to have more money and more everything than you could ever imagine. And I'm just going to sit back, kick back, and just take life easy. How many of us are that same way? I'll protect what I have and forget you, Lord. But what did God say to him? And so many people misread this too. It says, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? A lot of people reading that God's punishing him and he's going to kill him that very night. He didn't say that. All he did was quote the Bible, because what's the Bible say? It says, it is appointed once to a man to die and then the judgment. Isn't that what it said? Well, it's appointed that we have a time that we're going to die. And that's what God told him. He said, and it wasn't what he planned, it just was. He's saying, you don't even know. This very night, your soul's going to be demanded of you. And then who's going to get your money? Well, that's what he's telling us too. You fool, why are you planning about what's going to happen tomorrow and you don't even know you've got it? It doesn't matter that you're only 20 years old. So, I pick up the paper or hear it on the news all the time of 20-year-olds dying, don't you? So how do you know just because you're 20 that you got tomorrow? How do you know because you're 89 and you don't know? Do you have tomorrow? I don't know. Doesn't matter. If you got all your ducks in a row and all your things in order, God says, this is what you're supposed to take care of. It doesn't matter. So don't plan on that. So we know then that he said, sell all, distribute to the poor, and then you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. Same thing. But what was his response? I have too much. And this decision is just too hard to make. And so he chose the easy way, or at least he thought it was the easy way. God's response, thou fool, you don't even know. And then, I need you to turn over, if you will, just a few pages, Luke 16, 19 through 31. And there it says, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And the rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. And so he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, then they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even by someone who rises from the dead. You see, if you look at this story, does this guy have a two problem? Yeah, he's got a two problem. First one is he's just too dead and he's just too late. You see, he waited too long to realize who Jesus was and to come to him for answers. His response, there has to be a way out of this. There has to be. And so I'll just go and bring this to Jesus and see what he has to say. And so we know that he tried praying. Did you know he prayed? He did. He prayed because verse 24 said, Have pity on me. Who? Who have pity on me? Jesus. Because he's the only one who can. And he recognizes that now, but it's too little, too late. Have pity on me. He tried begging. He did. Verse 27 says, Then I beg you, Father, I beg you to have mercy on me. Too little, too late. He said, remember this, in your lifetime, you're the one who received all the good things. You had it so easy. And Lazarus, you saw him, he was at your table. He suffered all of the bad things, but now the tables have turned. And it is him who gets the good things while you stand here in agony. He begged for scraps from your table, and now you beg for scraps from him. Did he? You bet he did. He said, send Lazarus with even just a drip of water on the end of his finger to wet my tongue. He was begging. It was that bad. He wanted to proclaim the Savior. Send one from the dead and they will believe. You see, he had reached a point. He knew who Jesus was now. But it's too little. And it's too late. If he'd cry out to him, and he would, if Jesus would send one from the dead, how did he know that Jesus could do anything with the dead? Because he had heard it and he saw it, maybe. But he knew that Jesus could raise the dead. And if he could just proclaim or to raise one of them from the dead and send them down and tell his brothers, then they'll believe. But John 10:25 said, I told you and you didn't believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. That's his words to us. His words to the rich man. Too little, too late. He said, I told you and you didn't believe. Are we in that boat today? Is that where we're at? That we keep getting told about Jesus and we still won't believe. We still won't believe that he raised himself from that grave. That it was by his gift he went up that hill and he died. He allowed them to put him in that tomb. And then he walked right through the stone. Nobody rolled that stone away. Don't you ever let anybody tell you somebody rolled away the stone. First off, they couldn't. It's way too big, way too heavy. Plus the Roman guards. And that's another story. So we know that, there is no way. But we know that he walked right through that tomb and then he appeared before hundreds and let them see, it's me. Feel my hands. Feel my side. It's me. He let them do that. And then they got to see him as he was ready to ascend into heaven. They saw him go. They heard his promise. What was it? I will come again. That where you are, there I will be. That where I am, there you're going to be. I'm going to take you home with me. Jesus was right. He rose from the dead, and still we have all the witnesses, all of the proof in the world, and still we have people out here today that don't believe he didn't do it. It wasn't him. It's just another, Jesus was just another good guy. Christians, those who love him, know full well who Jesus is, God's one and only Son, and he came to this earth for one reason and one only, that he could give his life for you and me, someone who didn't even deserve it, but he gave it. Did you realize that if you were the only sinner that ever walked the face of the earth, the only one, everybody else is born again Christians and we're all good guys, you're the only sinner, did you know Jesus would have still come? And he would have died for you. Because it's that personal. He did it for me. And when I look at that, and I look at, you know, we see pictures that artists draw and everything depicting the beating that Jesus took that day and the things that happened to him on that cross. And I'm telling you, people, if you can look at that and not get tears in your eyes, something is wrong, because he loved you that much. And he did. And he died for us. So, excuse me, I did. And I'm not ashamed of it. Acknowledge me. Acknowledge me. That's all he said. That's what we've got to do. He said, give up everything. Give up whatever's standing between you and me. And acknowledge me as your Savior. Acknowledge me that I am the one that came and died on that cross. Acknowledge me that it was my blood that was spilled. Acknowledge me that I am coming again. I'm coming back to see you. He said in Matthew 10:32-33, he said, if you will acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. Oh my gosh, can you imagine that? You're standing there and thinking, I'm a good guy and I've done most of these things that you've asked me to do, and I want to come into heaven. And he looks at you and he says, who in the world are you? I don't even know you. My Father doesn't know you because I denied you before him. What a terrible thing to happen to us. Well, let me tell you this. You're having a today. That's cute, doesn't it? You're having a today. All of you are having a today, especially those who don't know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. You have the opportunity right now to make that right. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment to do just exactly that. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day. You see, this is a too perfect day. Too perfect. It is the perfect time. Get it right. It's the perfect day. It's the perfect opportunity. You have the perfect Savior here in this house today. How do I know he's here? Because we asked him in our prayer at the first, Father, come into your house. Fill your house. So it's, you have the perfect Savior. You have the perfect gift. His blood covers you, covers me. There's no one that it doesn't cover. You have the perfect gift. And then, if you make that decision, you're going to have the perfect eternity because you're going to spend it with him in heaven. And all of it, if you will just turn your life over to Jesus today. Amen. If there's anything that you're going to find out about me, I will never, ever let you step outside that door without giving you the opportunity to know Jesus. Don't be embarrassed and don't be ashamed to come forward because, oh my gosh, Pastor, I've been coming to this church for 25 years. Everybody knows I'm a Christian. Everybody? Does Jesus know? Or are you just playing the game? When I get up and give you that moment to come forward, do you take a death grip on that front chair, or the chair right in front of you? And you're not going to move. I don't care what he says, I'm not going to move. Don't worry, people. It's not about me. And I don't get a dollar every time you come up here or whatever. This is between you and Jesus. I'm telling you, if you truly, truly don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have got to get that right today. Because if you could go back and ask that poor man there at the last, if you had it all to do over again, would you have accepted Jesus before you died? I bet you his answer would be a whole lot different. Hey, Joe, what can we do for invitation? Yeah? All right. Boy, you couldn't ask for a better one than that. She said Amazing Grace. I know a lot of you don't know that song. Everybody's known that song since you were that high, or don't you? Amazing Grace. We'll do that. If Joe's up to that.